Welcome back to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I'm Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre, as always, providing you some awesome basketball podcast material every week. As we move through the late summer here, obviously some news, you know, we get different types of news, but we finished our individual team breakdowns. So today we got our normal first half of the pod, kind of getting off the format that we had the last few weeks, but just doing the beginning stuff. We got our first things. I mean, you got a bunch of news and notes this time around.
Yes, sir.
Got a few WNBA update and maybe kind of the last WNBA update since the fantasy season wrapped up. And then if we have time today, we're going to, put some local flavor into this and really give a deep dive into our Detroit Pistons and just talk about them a little bit further.
And homer out a little bit.
Exactly. So a lot of our listeners from Detroit area, so got to provide for them too. So
absolutely.
Anyways, let's do some first things.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So my first things are not like, there's like very small ones. I basically want to shout out to, it's a Twitter at Humankind. They're called Humankind. And they put out these videos all the time, basically every day, all day. And they're just videos of people doing great things. So there's
actually, great idea.
Yeah, I think I liked a few videos that you can see on here, but there's one of actually a UPS guy. And he just kind of pulls, this must have been kind of winter time or something. Looks like the grass is dead and whatnot, wherever it's at. This kid shooting hoops out in his driveway. And the UPS guy just runs off the truck and just starts playing basketball with him for a little bit. So he's like taking alley-oops from the kid and stuff on his net. It's got a cool video to watch.
If I had that job, that's all I would do. If I ever saw anybody playing basketball, I don't care what I was in the middle of, I would stop, pull over, just get out. And that might be my whole day right there.
See how much you actually get paid.
It wouldn't last long, that's for sure.
Exactly. But so that one's out there. There was another one too. I don't think it really tells you where they are and things like that, but these young kids, I don't know how old they are. They're just playing basketball. They're five-year-olds. So they're doing a huddle out there on the basketball court, and they just keep hugging each other. So there's like four kids out there and they just won't let go of each other. So cute little video for some inspiration. And then there's another one too, that's kind of old news, but basketball related as well. And it's Steph Curry actually getting his diploma or degree from Davidson, which I believe is, I think it's a year old or whatnot, but he gets a little choked up and stuff finishing his Bachelor of Arts in Sociology. So it's pretty cool, but
nice finds.
Yeah. Just wanted to give a shout out to I don't know what to call it. A Twitter profile, I guess. Cause I don't think they do anything else but that, but
an X cool file.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly.
There's another drop.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, better stop there.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the first things, some good stuff. Check them out. Check out the X file and get some heartwarming stories. So they're out there. I also wanted to just shout out. We were actually out with some friends. After some golf and stuff. I golfed and then you met us up.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the countries that we've been listened by and streamed in. We actually got up to 15 countries now. And I looked at it real quick, and granted, I had a few beers, and I was like, I go, man, we got Scotia. And buddy Schmitte kind of looks at me. He's like, no, that's Serbia. He was probably like, this guy's an idiot. But to back myself up, like when I was a kid, obviously my name's Scott. So when I was a kid, my mom like got us each those like little framed like 8x11 things. And it's like the origin of your name, right? So nice. Then the origin of my name is like Scotsman or something. And from Scotland. And Latin for Scotland is Scotia. So that's kind of where my mind was at. But I was just, no, there's no Scotia. There's no Scotia anymore. There's a Nova Scotia, but that's not a country. Yep. It's just a province. So whatever. But anyways, so yeah, we're into Serbia now, which is pretty cool. I think Singapore was one of the new ones, and the United Kingdom. So
let's pretty go. Cool.
We're going prestige worldwide,
wide.
A multi-country podcast conglomerate. Anyways, so that's pretty cool. Also, I wanted to mention the Sports Podcast Awards have started. You can actually enter them now. So I entered us into a few categories. We're in for Best Basketball Podcast, Best Fantasy Podcast, and Best Equality and Social Impact Podcast. As far as timing, they like shortlist stuff. The entries close October 29th. Then they have the industry selects vote to shortlist podcasts. And then it opens up for a public vote on December 19th. If we happen to somehow be lucky enough to get shortlisted, who knows? Maybe we do. We got something good going on here. So,
man, I want one.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, and we'll keep people posted if we need some votes for sure.
I want one. I think we deserve one. Not to be too selfish or anything, but come on. If there's anybody listening that has a say in this, can put some votes out there, we'd really appreciate it. And guess what? The content's going to keep on coming.
Exactly. But yeah, we'll let you know when we need those votes, and we'll definitely get the word out to you people, listeners, to get the word out for us. Let's see. I'm talking about worldwide. So I'm just going to jump right in here to the World Cup here. So nice. We talked about World Cup stuff. Obviously, Team USA bowed out there in the third place game, did not even place, as they lost to Canada, and then Germany was the champions over Serbia. And all four of those countries have listened to Menace Podman before.
there you go.
But yeah, we talked about it last week. I was like, man, I should probably watch this stuff. I still didn't make time to watch
it. Me neither. I was pissed.
It was weird times of the day, though, too. I think it was earlier in the morning or late at night. I can't even remember now.
It's tough, man. You know, you and I both have kids. We got a lot going on. You know, it's the NBA off season, but for us, you know, it's busy season. We got a lot going on, and it's hard to juggle everything, but we do have information. We do have some stats and whatnot. So,
yeah,
we'll give you what we got.
I mean, I was going to say, I just want to shout. I mean, I got my under the radar guy, not really under the radar anymore, probably, but well, obviously Dennis Schroeder won the MVP, had a killer final game, 28 points, and he got some support from friendly Franz Wagner, had 19 points to help them get that first place finish. Yeah,
I was actually going to bring up Franz Wagner, but we can just kind of talk about it now. We didn't really give like an update on his injury. He actually came back. He had the injured left ankle, but he returned September 6th and obviously played great, you know, seems to be just fine. I think the ankle injury is behind him at this point, but you know, obviously we'll keep an eye on him once he gets back to training camp with the Orlando Magic.
Exactly. And then Serbia, I remember I was talking about them on the last podcast, and I wasn't watching. So I'm like, man, who do they even have in their team? Obviously some names of note, Bogdan Bogdanovic and Nikola Jovic actually performed pretty well.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see that as far as stats wise, like I said, didn't watch it, but saw the stats. So
yeah, he's going to be good. And he's, you know, that was a good pickup, you know, a good draft pick by the Miami Heat. I think Jovic has a chance to get in the rotation this year, and he's got to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, if he doesn't end up in Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see how that story's kind of died down a lot here lately with the Miami stuff. I haven't heard much.
They're saying, you know, he can still get traded at any time, and, you know, some of the rumors are starting to pick up a little bit, you know, so we'll just have to kind of see.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, Jovic looked great. And then I think he would have to be a part of some type of movement if Dame was to go there. I don't know. Oh, man, we're going to talk about the Pistons. Exactly. That doorbell. Anyways, other notable people, though, that played pretty well here in the World Cup, Luka Doncic, Markkanen, the finisher, had good performance. SGA for Canada looked great. Karl-Anthony Towns had some pretty good pretty good games there as he played for what, Dominican. Josh Giddey looked all right there. Vucevic, Clarkson, and of course, Anthony Edwards had a pretty standout performances with the USA. So a lot of good NBA names that we know that are notable. But the one name that I keep seeing, because we talked about him in the Summer League, and now we see him now playing with Puerto Rico in the World Cup, is Tremont Waters. He had another solid performance, and that guy is going to be on a roster somewhere, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure. And he had, wasn't he with, he was with Boston, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep, Boston.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple moments with them, you know, kind of silly season type stuff. You know, he was mostly out of the rotation, but yeah, he can play, and you know, he just needs an opportunity. So definitely, like you said, a guy to keep an eye on and see where he winds up and go from there.
All right. So I think that, I mean, covers everything as far as World Cup is considered, but congrats to the Germans and Germany as the champions.
Yeah. I think we should probably mention real quick, just these rumors about like a lot of the stars, you know, wanting to, you know, come back and play in the next Olympics.
Yep. That's I was going to say they're sick of losing, it looks like. And, they're like, we want to win internationally. I actually have that up here too. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. And you know, you and I talked about how much we really like this USA team. And, you know, I do want them to kind of stick with some of these guys because they're young. They have talent. They just need that camaraderie. They need to play together like these other countries have and just develop that chemistry and that experience. And, you know, sometimes losing these tournaments can be a good thing. You know, as crazy as that sounds, you know, it just, it makes you that much more hungry, you know, and determined to come back. And again, you keep people, you know, together, you build on that, you know, that history and that experience. And that can be a good thing. But having said that, you know, with these star players, whether it's LeBron or Steph or Durant or Devin Booker or even Joel Embiid, who apparently, you know, could either play for US or France and is kind of being recruited by both. If they can get any of those guys, you take them all day, every day. But, I would like to see a lot of these guys come back and, you know, stick with these guys and just let them keep going.
No, I completely agree. I think, we talked about this when they were putting the roster together, like you said, that we loved that they had a bunch of young guys on the roster. And I said, you know, Grant Hill was putting this roster together. And just as you mentioned, they need the experience. And I think this was a great, almost like a tryout for some of these guys. Yeah. And I think guys like Anthony Edwards, based on that performance, and if he keeps continuing to develop and grow, you know, personally and as a player, he'll be part of that team with all these other great veterans and things like that. So watch out in 2024. it's going to be the Redeem Team, as they're calling them. So
exactly.
Let's see, where do we go on from here? I think, how do I want to do this? Let's go with some news and notes if you're ready for that.
Yeah. Do we want to get into the KPJ stuff now?
You can save him for the end. sounds good. We'll just continue into it.
Sounds good. Right. Let's start with Trey Murphy. We talked about how he has the torn left meniscus, unfortunately. Indeed he did undergo surgery, so he's going to be out 10 to 12 weeks, which means he will miss the start of the regular season. It sucks, but he's still a guy that I like drafting late in fantasy drafts. If you've got IL spots and stuff, just hang on to him. Let's see how this team looks. You know, New Orleans Pelicans, Zion, Brandon Ingram, you know, CJ McCollum, all these guys, you know, they're injury prone. There's a lot still to kind of play out here as, you know, camps start to open up here in the coming weeks. We need to see how these guys look. We need to see how the rest of this team looks, who's healthy, who's ready to go. There's always surprise little news and injuries and stuff that we haven't heard about. And, you know, this team, we really need to see, you know, based on, again, the guys that we just mentioned, we need to see how these guys look and who's ready to go. That's going to impact, you know, kind of everybody else's status and stuff in fantasy and in real life. So, but yeah, Trey Murphy, we talked about what a good season he had last year. And a lot of that was because he stepped in when other guys were out. But, you know, we just need to see how these guys look and see who's actually ready to play and then kind of make adjustments from there. As far as signings go, Kevin Knox re-signed with the Portland Trailblazers to a 1-year deal. You know, former lottery pick, just kind of bounced around a little bit here. But good to see him still sticking around. You know, he's a guy that, you know, has shown that he can score. It's just a matter of, can he do other things? And, you know, he's hanging on. So we'll see. Boban Marjanovic, always a fan favorite. He was a fan favorite here in Detroit and basically anywhere he's been or played. He's the man. Glad to see him back. He re-signed with the Houston Rockets to a 1-year deal. Love it. Tristan Thompson is back with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He signed a non-guaranteed deal, partially guaranteed deal. And pretty sure he'll make the roster. They've always liked him. They've always valued his leadership. And again, on a younger team like that, that's on the rise, that's looking to, you know, build some momentum here after a solid regular season. And then we talked about their collapse in the playoffs against the Knicks. And a lot of that was on their big men. We talked all about that this summer. So a guy like Tristan Thompson is going to be huge, just a veteran presence. He can push those guys in practice, you know, possibly give them some minutes during games, but he's going to be a big, you know, factor in the locker room and, you know, on the bench and stuff like that. So it's a good pickup, good move. This was really bizarre. We talked about JaVale McGee and how he signed with the Sacramento Kings. They've decided to waive both Nerlens Noel and Numias Keita. They signed both of those guys during the summer, but I guess they've just decided that they're going to let those other guys go somewhere else and have an opportunity to make a roster. It makes sense from the standpoint of they just had so many centers. You knew they weren't going to keep all those guys. Keita actually is eligible for a two-way deal. He was on Sacramento last year on a two-way contract. And so there's a chance that they could bring him back again on one of those type of deals. But I think they're going to see if any team gives him an actual guaranteed roster spot.
One in, one out.
Or it might just be one in, one out. You know, who knows? Nicely done.
You're welcome.
This was a relatively big move here. The Spurs waived Cameron Payne. We talked about when they got him, you know, that's a lot of guards for them. They may or may not wind up keeping Payne. They've decided to let him go so that he can try to get on somebody's roster. And so that kind of, to me, puts Trey Jones back on the fantasy map. I'm not real high on him. I still think they have other guards, younger guys and stuff that they're going to be looking at. But Trey Jones had a pretty decent year last year. I think he finished top 100 per game across 9 categories. So he's a guy that I still think you could draft him late. You know, we've talked at length about the whole point guard situation. You know, keep drafting him. You're going to need bodies at that spot. So that does put Trey Jones back into my pre-rankings for me. Not real high. Pretty much in the hundreds for me. A guy that, you know, if you're low on point guards, you need somebody, he's a guy that you can grab late. And we talked
about...
And
point guards are gold, like you said. So
they are.
And we've mentioned many times. So
yeah,
definitely good stash.
Yep. And we talked about Franz Wagner already. He came back. I realized we never really gave an update on Giannis. So he didn't wind up playing in the World Cup. It sounds like he's going to be fine. It sounds like it's mostly precautionary purposes. But in any case, you know, of course, we're going to be watching him in training camp and preseason, just making sure that he looks okay. You know, they're going to limit his minutes. I don't know if you had anything, but I've been seeing all the stuff about how they're getting more strict about veterans and the, you know, sitting games and all that stuff. And it's good for us fantasy players. You know, they're being a lot more strict. They're saying that multiple stars can't sit out the same game and stuff like that. It has to be kind of like prearranged. I don't know how they're going to track all that, but it's very fascinating to me. And like I said, I think it's really good for the fantasy community at large here.
Yeah, I saw it. It's actually in my notes there.
Cool.
I've seen a lot about it, and I don't know how I feel about it, honestly. I kind of go both ways. Like you said, from a fantasy perspective, I think it's amazing for us because you don't want these guy's not on the floor, you want to be able to, you know, count on them putting up points and numbers and things
like that. Well, and fans too, paying fans.
Correct.
And obviously the TV networks, you know, they're trying to showcase these guys. And, you know, when they show the commercials and stuff, they show the star players, and then it makes them look really bad when those guys that they're advertising aren't there and aren't playing.
Yeah. And I guess I understand that too, but I guess the part I don't understand really is I don't know if you have to believe or not, but like the players are saying they need this rest and they need this time and recovering and things like that.
Absolutely. And ownership, you know, the NBA owners across the league have scoured data and realized that, like, you know, it's for the better of the team and of the player if these guys don't overdo it during the regular season, if they don't have to. So, you know, it's the ownership that's coming out and saying, hey, we want to rest these guys. We want to keep them healthy. We want to keep them safe. You know, we're putting in millions and millions and millions of dollars to these guys, and like, we want to get return on investment. So,
exactly. So, yeah.
But you have to feel for the players. I mean, you want them to be healthy. You want them to play. You know, it's tough. It's a slippery slope. Like I said, I think it's going to be tough for them to kind of manage and track everything. It's going to be really fascinating to see how it all plays out and what they wind up doing for everything. But yeah, definitely a good thing for fantasy. And Giannis is one of those guys. Like, we're just going to have to keep an eye on him, just see how he looks early. And then, as we've said, like, you know, during the course of the season, you pay attention to how teams are doing, and the ones that are at the top, you start to look at their schedule and just keep an eye on, you know, are they going to start resting players and, you know, load managing guys and stuff like that. You just gotta keep an eye on it. Just gotta be.
Yeah. I guess, I guess the more I think about it, actually, I hate it even more now because it's just the NBA just wanting ratings and they care about that. And they're almost kind of shooting themselves in the foot maybe in the long run, because let's say, you know, a player shouldn't be playing, and then all of a sudden, because of some rules they have forced them to play, and they get injured even more. They don't play playoffs and things like that. It's like,
it's tough.
I don't know. It's a catch 22 type thing, like
Absolutely.
You said, but, it's, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the forcing of, you know, making them the play pretty much.
Well, I think it's going to absolutely be a case by case basis here. I mean, if a guy's hurt, he's hurt, you know. If someone can't physically play, then they're not going to play. But
and maybe maybe it'll be something that, like, I'm reading stuff about it now, and maybe it's not going to be as important as I think it's going to be. You know, maybe it's just going to be like the same thing that's happening now, but then they just work around the system, basically.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to make sure that if guys are sitting when they could actually be playing, you know, that it's for a good reason. Like, hey, you're on a back-to-back, you know, you're on a third game in 5 nights or something like that. You're just,
I mean, shit, just get rid of back-to-backs, right?
It would be nice.
There's got to be a way, schedule wise. These people are smart. They know how to do it.
Well, they could take away games, but they're not going to do it because, you know, cha-ching.
Exactly. I don't know. I could probably talk about this for a long time and be flabbergasted and just not even make sense with the words that I'm saying, because I'm just like, I hate the NBA doing this.
No, same. It like you said, total catch 22. Yeah. There's positive and negatives to every side. And it's something that I don't think is ever going to get, you know, cleanly fixed. But I like the fact that they're bringing ideas to the table, that they're addressing it. And it, again, going back to fantasy, it's a good thing.
Agreed there. All right.
So that's all that I had besides KPJ.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if you want to start rolling into that or not, but.
Well, I'll just say that he was arrested. And he is probably going to face a significant suspension, and his career is in jeopardy.
As it should be. I guess I have a bit to say, but where should I go? If people aren't familiar, but I'm sure if you know anything or follow basketball or sports or life in general, you've probably heard about this. So yeah, Kevin Porter Jr. Attacked his girlfriend. New York City hotel. His girlfriend is not just anybody. She's a former WNBA player, Kaiser Gondrzik. She actually has lots of local ties here. She was The 2016 Miss Michigan basketball player, Michigan Gatorade Player of the Year. She was born, grew up in Benton Harbor, Michigan, went to high school there. And phenomenal basketball player. She ended up going on to U of M, played for the Wolverines, and then transferred to West Virginia. And then she was drafted fourth overall by the Indiana Fever in 2021. She got waived. She had some different type of mental health things that she stepped away from the game while she was in the WNBA. Her father was a former NBA player. He passed away during that time, so she was having difficulty with that and things. Obviously no longer she's in the WNBA, but I don't know. I don't want to like stand on a soapbox or anything, but I'm kind of getting sick of hearing these stories about this domestic violence stuff. Especially it seems to be related to the NBA a lot. And it's probably happens all over in different, you know, NFL. We hear some stuff too, like the Ray Rices and things of the world. But I mean, we heard a lot in the NBA, and even as recent as Miles Bridges having stuff and coming right back. We've heard in the past, Matt Barnes has had, these are just a few names. Matt Barnes has had a past, some things, Darren Collison, Ron Artest, Jason Kidd was all over. And all these people are just able to pay a little fine, have a little counseling, and hop right back in the NBA. And some of them win championships after that.
That's a really good point. I don't know that that's going to happen with Kevin Porter Jr., though. He has had a lot of trouble in the past. He was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He got traded because of anger management related stuff. So, you know, he was already kind of having a bad offseason for, you know, him personally. I mean, we talked all about how the Rockets brought in a new coaching staff. They brought in all these new players that they drafted and signed as free agents. And, you know, KPJ goes from being the starting point guard the last 2 years for that team to now presumably coming off the bench, you know, taking a back seat to a lot of these guys. And he probably wasn't too happy about that. But, you know, now he faces this issue here. And, man, like I said, I think his career might be in jeopardy. You know, how many more chances is someone like this going to get? You know, and it's not fair to say that because, like you said, you read off all those names. Some of those guys are, you know, big name former players and stuff, you know.
Maybe some are playing and coaching right now.
So. Yeah, exactly. So it's, it is really kind of a, you know, pick and choose type of thing. But, yeah, it's just, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good, like you said, for anybody, really, for the league or for the sport as a whole. But specifically for him, like I said, I think he's looking at a pretty significant suspension, you know, kind of like Bridges. Like you said, that's the most recent one. You know, we could see something like that at the minimum, if not more. So in terms of fantasy, I mean, I was already pretty low on him. I think he's coming off my board completely at this point. We do need to kind of wait for an official word. And it does sound like it's going to take a little bit of time before, you know, they complete an investigation on everything. So that we're just going to hear a lot of speculation probably for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, we'll stay on top of it. We'll give an update when we have one. But it's not looking too good. And I think as of now, unless there's some kind of trade or something, I don't see a way for him to get back onto the fantasy landscape, at least for this upcoming season.
Yeah, no, I just think the NBA needs to do a better job. And I, honestly, as them being an example, you know, other people see this and see they just like it happens and they just pop right back in the league. I think they should all be done. I don't think any of these players that I even the names I mentioned, including KPJ, should even come back to the NBA. I don't even know why they do. I don't know why any team wants them. I don't even want to go like super far, but like Colin Kaepernick can't find a job because he takes a knee, and then these guys beat up people and they can still find jobs in professional sports. This is pretty
completely agree.
Ridiculous to me. But anyways, on the other side of it, I don't I guess if I go personally here, I'm a firm believer nobody's born like this, right? You kind of learn it through society or your upbringing or experiences that you have in life. So not to make any excuses for this type of behavior or KPJ, but
there's no excuse.
I do want to say that I just believe he has no place in the NBA. He needs to go to a place he can, you know, serve whatever time he needs to, get whatever help he needs to, because he obviously needs it. And then he shouldn't he just shouldn't be back under any circumstances. I don't know why anybody would give him a chance. I know you're supposed to give people second chances all the time.
And again, he's had
chances.
On his second or third chance.
Yep.
So,
and that's probably the difference between him and some of those other names I mentioned. But still,
exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. Anyways, when we're young, you know, keep your hands to yourself. Everybody, just keep your hands to yourself. I don't care who it is. I mean, everybody, there's so many people in this world that, you know, get abused sexually, physically, emotionally, verbally, all those things. So if you are or know anybody that has any, you know, issues and things they're going through, speak up, have them speak up. Obviously, everybody deserves better. And, you know, there's places out there. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline available 24/7 all times. Keeps you anonymous. They got some cool little stuff. If you're on your computer and somebody's starting to walk by, you can hit like escape 2 times and it like logs you out of everything. It's kind of cool just to, you know, I know some people, it's tough. It's tough to speak up and it's just, you know, crazy feeling. It's hard to deal with, but, 1-800-799-7233, or you can text start to 88788, but it's out there. So, be careful and get the help if you need it.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So I hate that subject, but anyway, so moving on from there, I'm going straight to WNBA. Get the, let's see if I can get the last official dub date of the year.
Here's the dub date.
So let's see. Got to find the siren. So obviously everybody knows we were in some fantasy women's basketball leagues. I was in 2. You were in your first one for first time ever, right? Had a blast doing it.
Great time.
Yeah. So we'll definitely do it again next year. I'll probably do one next year. I just did 2 for fun this year to see. And I had some different ideas. But anyway, so the one I didn't make the playoffs, I talked about that. The other one I did make the playoffs, made the finals, and yes, championship was delivered.
The champ is here!
So I haven't had a nice fantasy championship in a long time. I've never
deserved.
I've never played women's fantasy basketball either. This was the first time ever. So
crushed it.
Yeah, absolutely crushed. He had 1,458 points in the final. Beat a really good team though. That I actually
made some savvy moves.
Yep, made a trade with them during the year. Got Ryan Howard. She definitely helped out. And just had a solid roster, top to bottom. And actually, if I think about it. Here you go. Here, real quick. Jordan Canada, Ryan Howard, Brianna Stewart, Dorka Juhas, Aaliyah Boston, Jewel Lloyd, Marina Mabry, and then some other people that I just picked up left and right off the bench. But solid roster. Couldn't be beat. Undefeated. No.
Can we get
10
a cheat sheet for that real quick?
Yeah, if I can find it. Here it is. It was, I say undefeated, never lost, but I was 10-1 and then went through the playoffs. So lost that, had that one loss.
Close enough, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty close. Pretty close. But, so yeah, that was a lot of fun. Had to share that, pat myself on the back a little bit. But there's a lot of women's basketball stuff up here. Obviously the regular playoffs are starting. You got so the first round's best of 3, they go into semifinals and finals are best of 5. You're looking at the Aces in the Sky, Wings in the Dream, Liberty Mystics, Sun and Lynx. Most intriguing matchup to me is that Minnesota Lynx Connecticut Sun matchup. I think that's the closest two teams as far as the most competitive.
They have to all be healthy, though.
This is true. This is very true.
I hope they are, because you're right. It's a good matchup.
But honestly, when it all comes down to it, I think 1, 2, 3, and 4 go through. I don't think anybody's going to stop Aces, Wings, Liberty, and Sun. Yeah. So then you're looking at Liberty, Sun. You get a matchup with last year's finalists, the Connecticut Sun, the runner-up. But the Liberty are just, they're the favorites to roll through it now. After it was like the Aces for so long, and it switched over to Liberty after we were talking about it. You were talking about the Commissioner's Cup and stuff. I'm like, I don't care about this crap. Well, they got a bunch of confidence beating the Aces there, and they turned some heads, and now they're the favorite to win it all.
No doubt.
But yeah, I can't wait to watch some postseason action. Also, there's tons of records we talked about last week that were being broken. I had mentioned Brianna Stewart had set the single season scoring record, and then the next couple days after, Jewel Lloyd broke that record. So now she holds that record, so that's pretty cool. Obviously the MVP voting will happen soon. We've talked about that many times. We feel it's Breonna Stewart. I've seen a lot of push for Melissa Thomas, though. She led the league in rebounds and assists. So like we said, she's kind of the Jokic of the women's game. And I could see it going that way. But I still think it's Breonna Stewart making the biggest impact.
Exactly. And it starts with the wins. You know, her numbers are through the roof, like we've said. But those wins and specifically the Commissioner's Cup and, just they've run away with it, like you said. So, you know, they've got to complete it now. They've got to do it when it matters most, but they're definitely on their way.
Yep. And honestly, I think that's about all I had here. I don't know if you have any other topics you want to discuss, or we just make this a nice 36-minute episode, or do you want to do the Pistons today or move on to next week? Your call.
I can go either way. You want to do it? You want to do it? Do some Pistons, knock it out.
Let's do it. Let's do it. After the break, we will get some local flavor in, like we said, and we'll dissect the Pistons a little bit further for those interested. And even if you're not interested, hang out and check it out.
It'll be good.
Yeah, I promise it'll be good.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So, if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
All right, welcome back. So, like we mentioned on the top of the show, we just wanted to have a quick little segment here focusing on our Detroit Pistons. Like you said, homer out a little bit here. And like I said, most of our listeners are from the Detroit area too. So, hopefully this is some relevant in fun information for you to listen to. But I think we're just going to kind of go down the roster. Like you said, I think you were going to go by fantasy rating, ranking. And then obviously start on the top with Monty Williams and our thoughts on him. And it's just going to be a random conversation, but hopefully you enjoy it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about each player. We're going to use Yahoo's preseason ranks, and we'll just kind of talk about the active roster. It absolutely starts with Monty Williams. We'll get to Monty Morris.
We were talking about Monty Morris off air here.
Yeah, just a minute ago. A little bit. Monty Williams. Everybody's excited about it. We talked all about it. He is now the richest coach ever in history in the NBA because of Tom Gores. You know, he said, I want this guy. They initially reached out to him. He thought about it, said, no, thanks. I'm going to take some time to, be with my family. We talked about how his now wife is going through some stuff. We've talked all about his past history as well. Just a lot on his plate. But, Gores, to his credit, called him up and said, we need you, and we're willing to give you this much money. I mean, we want you to be here. We think you're the perfect fit for not only the roster now, but where the direction that we want to go with these guys. It's a very young team. Monty Williams is a guy who we said not long ago was playing in the NBA. So he relates really well to today's, players. And he's had a lot of success already, in his time as a head coach and as an assistant. He's been around the game and around the league for a long, long time. Despite his young age. So, he's a great fit. Fans here are excited. Everybody's optimistic that it's going to work, but obviously it's going to come down to, first and foremost, who's healthy, who's able to play, stay on the court. Did you have anything that you wanted to add about Monty Williams that we haven't talked about?
Just, I mean, I, like you said, we were always Monty Williams fans. Even before, I mean, I was for years now. And then even before I knew that was an option, it kind of blew me away that we even had a chance to get him in Detroit.
Sam.
I think I talked about a few episodes, probably many. We've done so many episodes now, but many episodes ago that hopefully he can make a great impact. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's a little too early with these guys, but hopefully he makes a huge impact and bigger than I think. I don't know if I think of him more of some guy who's developing but I kind of feel him, he's more of a guy who's to take you over hump and make you a championship team, but hopefully you can do all of that in once,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Develop and then create them.
That's what they're paying him for.
Exactly. So hopefully my dreams come true there. I'm totally psyched that he's here. I almost named my kid Montgomery, which is pretty cool. Montgomery is actually his middle name. I almost named my kid Montgomery. Went with Cameron instead. So yeah,
it's a good name.
But anyways, it's a great name. And also great jazz artist, Wes Montgomery. That's actually nice. Where I was going from. But I was like, man, I can use all these names as the inspiration for my child's name.
Yeah, that's
and now
cool.
He's Cameron. And I mean, I hate Duke, so that means nothing there. I can call him Cameron crazy, right? I'm a little off subject there, but anyways,
all good.
Love Monty Williams, glad he's here. I think he's gonna do great things and hopefully exceeds my expectations, which is pretty tough to do with the already high expectations I have for him.
Yeah, but obviously these guys got to stay healthy. It starts with Cade Cunningham. He's the face of the franchise, former number one overall pick. He's had a couple of injury plagued seasons. We tried to get some buddies on here with us and, you know, we've talked, you know, obviously off air with them and, you know, they've voiced some displeasure.
Yeah. We were like, you want to be on the pod? And they were like,
no, man, no.
Exactly. But, Cade, unfortunately last year only played 12 games and we talked about how they weren't the greatest of 12 games, in terms of fantasy, in terms of nine cat. Per game, his ranking was 139. And, you know, he averaged 20 points a game, played 33 minutes a game. That's great. Made over a three a game. He had over six rebounds. That's awesome. But only six assists for the kind of usage that he has. That needs to be higher. Not even a steal, not even a block, not even 42% from the field, with a lot of attempts. Almost 19 attempts. So that adds up. That really hurts your percentages. Free throws, what was he? 84. So pretty solid. 3.5 attempts a game. So pretty good there. But yeah, just the percentages from the field, almost 3.5 turnovers. Not terrible, but again, not great either. It's really the percentages that need to come up. And, you know, he's such a big guy. You got to think if he's healthy, he's probably confident that he can get to the basket, get easier shots, and then hopefully start knocking down those shots away from the rim, you know, kind of.
I guess I'm just interjecting here though, but I don't actually think Cade Cunningham really turned into a big shooter. I kind of feel like he's just going to be more of a distributor. And maybe average 10 to 15 points per game. I don't think he's going to be a big scorer by any means. And I kind of think, obviously, we haven't talked about Jaden Ivey yet, but they didn't really get to play together that much. So I'm really interested to see them at the same time. But I think Jaden Ivey is going to be that guy who's going to be shooting more, driving more. And Cade Cunningham is going to be more of a distributor. That's just my opinion. But
well, and I hope you're right. But, you know, we'll get to Ivey in a little bit. He's another guy that really needs to work on his shot making ability.
I guess basically what I was saying was I think his shooting percentage, Cade Cunningham's shooting percentage is low, but I think he's going to take less shots coming in the future, and that's hopefully will help his shooting a little bit.
We'll see. And I think playing together is going to really help. You know, I think just getting that continuity, just getting guys in the right spot. And then this team has a lot of versatility. I mean, guys can play multiple positions, and Cade specifically, I mean, he's 6'8". I mean, who knows? He might be more of a point forward when it's all said and done. You know, we'll get to some of the other guys on the roster here. They went out and got a lot of guards this summer. So Cade might be playing.
They're making a fantasy team.
Yeah, they are. they might be playing Cade more as like a small forward or something. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to continue to play with these other guys. They've got to, you know, gel together. And, you know, under Monty Williams' tutelage, hopefully take it to the next level. So, you know, Cade's a guy that in fantasy, you know, people have always been optimistic. You know, he's always been kind of a higher draft pick. He's obviously been a little bit of a letdown here. You know, I think if you're in a points league, I would target him aggressively in hopes that he will be healthy. But in 9-cat, you got to be really careful of those percentages and stuff. Hopefully he gets better. But, you know, again, I wouldn't reach too high for him, you know, at least until the middle rounds, especially if you're low on guards at that point, you know, take some chances and stuff. But
where did you say he was ranked again?
139. So not good. Now, again,
what, in the actual pre-ranks?
No, that was his actual rank last season.
Yeah, but like pre-ranks this year.
So Yahoo has him at 32. So
that's way too fucking high.
Yeah, I think that's too high. It's too aggressive.
That's insane. I don't think I would probably never have him on my fantasy team because I would wait too long because there would be other
guys. Yeah, someone's going to take him, especially if you're living locally here and you're in a league. You know, somebody's going to, you know, be optimistic and try to grab him, but
I mean, I know this is off subject too, but there's got to be other guards around that 32 spot that are way better and way produce. There's like,
oh yeah, there's a ton.
I'm thinking like De'Aaron Fox, Jalen Brunson, they're probably all kind of in that area.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to take those two guys over Cade Cunningham any day. But yeah. No, by the way, Cade Cunningham is, where is he on this? I lost it. I had my cool stats and I just lost it. Never mind. I'll move. I'll shut up.
did you still have the 2K stuff? Did you want to get into
that?
That's
what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, I'll keep going. The next guy on Yahoo's list is Jalen Duren, and he's a guy that, you know, tends to get drafted a little later, once you get into like the hundreds range. And, you know, he looked good last year. He was in terms of per game across 9-cat, he was 135, which doesn't sound like much, but, you know, he played 67 games, started off with a really small role and gradually picked up more minutes. Pistons made a bunch of moves. Guys got moved in and out. Guys got in and out of the lineup. You know, we talked about how Isaiah Stewart, we'll get to him. He's still on the roster, but he wound up getting shut down last season, and that opened up more time for Duren. And down the stretch, he looked like an absolute beast. I mean, you could tell just by looking at him. He looks like a man amongst boys, and yet he was the youngest player in the NBA last season. So, you know, the sky's the limit, I think, with him in terms of his physicality, in terms of his athleticism. He's going to continue to grow and develop, get better. He averaged over 9 points a game and almost 9 rebounds a game in just under 25 minutes. Per game. So huge upside in terms of, you know, rebounds percentages. He shot almost 65% from the field. So obviously, you know, he's definitely a rim runner, you know, and a lob threat, that type of guy. But you want those type of guys in fantasy because they do boost your percentages. They do boost your, you know, rebounds. And obviously, if he gets hot enough, he'll score. And you know, the free throws, he needs to improve, only 61%. That's not going to be good. But, you know, again, you just hope that improves, that he continues to get better. It's going to be really interesting to see if he does start. And if so, who starts with him? We'll get into that here in a little bit. But, you know, people are very optimistic that he's going to continue to grow and develop. He looked really good down the stretch. And, you know, I think everybody's hoping that he's just going to build on that momentum.
Yeah, no, I love Duren a lot. I did find my ratings finally. Cade Cunningham is an 84 overall in 2K. Jalen Duren a 79. I can continue on with those. But yeah, no. The big guy situation in Detroit's interesting. I'm not on the Stewart train, but
we'll get to him. We'll get to a couple others. I do think that Duren is going to wind up in the starting five.
I agree.
I think he'll stay there the majority of the season, barring, you know, any kind of injuries or anything like that. I think he'll be one of those starters. Who's going to start with him? You know, we'll talk about that here momentarily. One guy I think who will wind up starting, I don't know exactly which position, but Bojan Bogdanović. He is, I think, going to wind up being, if he stays on the team, I think he'll wind up being one of our top scorers again.
I just saw a trade rumor from like a week ago going to the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go back to last year, there were all kinds of Laker rumors. You know, everybody and their mother wanted the Pistons to trade him to the Lakers, and, you know, it didn't happen. It could at any time, though. And, you know, he's definitely a hot commodity. He's a good player. He can score. He can shoot. He can spread the floor. He's a good, you know, we've talked all about him. He's a veteran guy. He's had a lot of experience. You know, he played all those years with the Jazz, and they made deep runs into the playoffs. You know, he's been on some other teams as well. You know, he's had a long career, and he's just a good guy. You know, he's a guy that kind of fits on any team. You know, he's a great fit on a young team like the Pistons because, again, you know, he can bring some of that character into the locker room and onto the court. But also, he can play too, you know, and he knows his role. He's not overly athletic, but he's good at the things that he does. You know, he can score, he can shoot, he can space the floor. He's a tough guy. He can play multiple positions. You know, there's a chance that he could start. They could go with a really small lineup and he could start at the four. But I think he's going to probably wind up starting at the three. I think that's kind of his natural spot. You know, had a really good season. You know, in terms of fantasy, he finished 110 in terms of ranking per game across nine cat. So that's pretty solid. You know, 32 minutes a game, 21 and a half points a game, 2.5 threes. That's huge. But he does other stuff too. Almost 4 boards, 2.5 assists, not much defensively, only 0.5 a steal, essentially no blocks. But great percentages for like a shooter, for a perimeter guy, almost 49% from the field. That's awesome. On almost 15 attempts. So that's some sneaky value there in terms of field goal percentage. And he's a great free throw shooter, almost 89%. So a lot of volume. You know, he only played in 59 games, but in the games that he played, you know, he played over 32 minutes a game, got a lot of touches. You know, he's a scorer. So he's going to, as long as he's on this team, I think he starts. I think he winds up being one of the top scorers. Even if he begins the season with the Pistons, there's a chance that they could trade him. He has a lot of value across the league. A lot of teams want him. He's got, you know, a pretty decent sized contract, but again, like, he's good at what he does and any team would love to have him. A team that's like on the cusp of winning the whole thing, I think they'd be happy to trade for him. So yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I would assume there's no way he's on the roster at the end of next year. I assume he gets traded somewhere, but where it is to be seen, of course. But hopefully they get some, as they should, as you mentioned, they should get some decent value, something in return.
I think the only way that he stays on the roster is if they do come out, you know, guns blazing. They go on a huge run to start the season. Everybody's looking great. And they decide, hey, let's keep these guys together. Let's see how far they can go throughout the entire season and postseason, and then kind of reassess in a year. But the chances of all that happening, I would say, are still pretty slim to none. You know, I think that, you know, we're all optimistic that they're going to be better, but again, like, they've got a client, they were the worst team in the entire NBA last year. And so now they have to climb up from that. And that's easier said than done. You know, we've spent the entire summer talking about every other team and all the moves that they made. You know, nobody just sat around. Everybody did stuff to try to get better. So, you can't just assume that because the Pistons made all these changes that they're all of a sudden going to just immediately be better than, you know, even a handful of the teams they were down in the bottom of the standings with.
So basically you're saying if with Bogdanović on the roster, they start moving the community.
Damn it.
Maybe on the roster still.
I was going to use that when we got to Monte Morris.
Damn.
But you're right. They're moving the community together as an organization. And
Chauncey. Chauncey family.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I have no other thoughts on Bojan. But yeah, hopefully. See, I don't even know if he has any. He's a great player, but I don't know if he has any value in the development of other players. I don't know how that relationship is with him, and that if he's that type of person. But hopefully, he is while he's here. So
yeah, for sure. You know, I think in terms of real life, I think, like I said, he's valued. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can play his role, and he can do it on any team, you know. So if he's on a bad team, you know, he'll still go about his business, he'll do his job.
Do you think he ever buzzes his hair, like, just completely?
I don't think so, but I mean, no. he's been leaving it quite some time.
Yes,
and
he is
fighting that battle, you know.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, you know, keep it going as long as you can, I guess.
I'm getting close.
Your boy, Ivy.
Yes, sir. Boiler up.
And Ivy. Yep. He, you know, again, sky's the limit. We've talked about the comparisons to Ja Morant in terms of on the court.
Yep.
You know, the athleticism, the size at the guard position, the ability to, you know, dribble the ball, get up and down the court super quick.
His spurt ability.
Yeah,
man,
exactly.
Just has explosion. He just explodes to the basket. I love it.
Exactly. Unfortunately, his field goal percentage does not explode. he was not good at all in fantasy last year. In fact, he was outside the top 200. You know, just brutal numbers. He was less than 42% from the field. Decent amount of volume. You know, when Cade went down, Ivy basically was playing full-time point guard. He had the ball in his hands a lot. Lot of turnovers, over three a game. Yeah, it's tough, you know. In fact, am I looking at the right thing? I think so. These are last year's stats. Yeah, over three a game. Not much defensively. He did almost get a steal a game, but, you know, for a young guy with that kind of size and athleticism, that's got to go up. Only five assists, less than four boards. And again, with all the volume and stuff, he's just got to get better. You got to assume that he will, though. You know, he's going to, you know, benefit from hopefully playing against, you know, or playing alongside a healthy Cade Cunningham, getting some of these other guys in the lineup and just playing together and developing. We talked about in the summer league, he looked a little disappointing. He kind of came on stronger towards the end, but at the beginning, he was missing a lot of shots. He was forcing a lot of shots, which wasn't good. You know, if he can get kind of into a steady role of, you know, spreading the court, you know, looking for his teammates and being more of a facilitator, and then, you know, blending that with his ability to get to the cup and, you know, eventually score some buckets, I think that's going to help. And again, just having a healthy backcourt and a healthy roster is only going to help him. And being a year older is going to help. You know, he's going to be a year experience. He's going to understand more, like, you know, how the defense is going to play him and, you know, take advantage of the, of what the defense gives him. So, you know, if he's open and he's got his feet set, you know, then go ahead and shoot it, but don't force it if you can get a better shot, you know, from somebody else. So, and that's all stuff that, you know, Monty Williams will be working with him on, and it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see how he and Cade do continue to grow and develop together. And yeah, it's going to be good to see, you know, again, so athletic, you know, has the ability to play multiple spots. You know, Williams is going to be able to pick and choose different players, different matchups, different rotations. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch for a basketball fan, for a Pistons fan, you know, like the two of us are. Yeah, it's just, it's the sky's the limit with these guys, you know, with Ivy specifically.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we just talk, you can talk about these guys individually like all day, but like, it just seems like the year, it seems like a sophomore year for everybody, right? And it's, I think we're going to learn the most this year about all these players that we, you know, that we didn't know in the past. And obviously Monty Williams, like he says, going to hopefully bring a lot out of them. But yeah, I think after this year, we'll really know what we have. And I know it's, it feels like, you know, the team's just been dragging their feet for years and years and years. And we're like, we're just doing this and that, kind of like a Orlando situation, right? Like what the hell's going on? But this is a, I think it's a big turning point year. This is a big one. And in Detroit though, we're used to saying that a lot with all of our teams, right? It's that turning point. We're going to turn the corner now. And then it feels like it's just, it's extended, but this feels like the year that we learn a lot about the Detroit Pistons, what they have on their roster.
Yeah, for sure. I do think that Ivy's going to start. I think he'll start in the backcourt with Cade. I think Cade will start at the one, at the point. I think Ivy will start at the two, but they'll be interchangeable. We'll see Ivy with the ball a lot, but he's going to be on thin ice. We'll get into some of the other guards on this roster, but ton of guys in the backcourt. They'll be able to pick and choose, and they'll be able to go with the hot hand. So, you know, even if he does start, he's going to kind of be on thin ice. If he's coming out looking sluggish, missing a lot of shots, not making good plays, you know, he'll probably get pulled. So, you know, we'll talk about some of the other guys here in a little bit, but the next group of guys on Yahoo's list in terms of pre-rankings are the big guys. James Wiseman, you know, we have to wait and see here. He is obviously a former lottery pick, number two overall pick. You know, Golden State took him with the idea of kind of having a long-term guy to, you know, mesh with all those veteran guys. But then they said, hey, look, you know, we're just not able to squeeze him into the rotation. Let's trade him and get something for him while we can. And, you know, credit to the Pistons. When you're a bad team, that's what you do. You take risks on guys, you know, with that are on cheap rookie deals and stuff like that. Just, you know, it's like a free lottery pick, you know, it's just, you know, it's a short-term thing, but it's a chance to bring him into your organization, take a look at him every single day in practice during games. How is he in the locker room? How does he mesh with the other players? And then, you know, if you want to keep him, cool. If you don't, that's fine too. You don't really lose much. So, I have no idea what his role is going to be. There's a chance that Wiseman and Dern could play together. They were playing together last season. They played a lot together during the summer. They could start Wiseman and Dern together. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen initially. I think in today's day and age, you know, it's all about pace and space. I think it would be a lot, you know, smarter to go with somebody that's a little bit more athletic and maybe just continue to bring Wiseman off the bench and bring him along a little slowly. And, you know, based on how the team does, you could kind of pick and choose when to use him and feature him more. But we've seen his skill set. You know, I won't bother at this point getting into his stats, you know, per game and stuff like that, because I just think it's too, you know, up and down. He had this time with Golden State and then he had his time with Detroit, and, you know, his role kept changing on both teams.
I think Wiseman is really a microcosm of the entire Detroit Pistons team. Like, he has all this talent, he has all this potential, but he doesn't really have an identity.
Yeah, me.
Like I don't know what he does and what he can do.
Well, he kind of
feels like he's just in this this limbo.
Yeah,
area.
Kind of is, and a lot of it's because of the roster and stuff too. But he's definitely a really talented offensive big man. He can score down low. He can shoot. He showed a little bit of passing ability, especially in summer league. He's just got a good feel for the ball, you know? So he's definitely, you can see anytime you watch him, he does stuff out there. Like, you can see that he's skilled and you could see the potential, you know, but can he do it consistently? And then defensively, can he get better? Can he be a consistent shot blocker every single night? Can he rebound consistently?
You're blocking the crosswalk.
You know, he's always just had a good knack for being able to do stuff with the ball, you know, and it kind of gives that like old school kind of center, you know, inside first, but he can shoot. He showed it during summer league, and yeah, he does some good stuff, you know, in spurts. So we have to see what kind of role he's going to get, and, you know, is it going to be consistent? But in terms of fantasy, he's nothing more than a late round flyer. You know, definitely has the upside, but on this team, we just have to see, you know, if everybody's healthy, it's going to be tough. The next guy on the list is Isaiah Stewart. I know you said you're not a huge fan. You know, he's another one. He's had moments where he's looked great. He's had moments where he's just been this, you know, tenacious defender and rebounder and, you know,
and rip LeBron's head off.
Yeah. I was about to say fighting with everybody, like not, a, you know, fearless, just goes after everybody. And that's great. And what better place for someone like that than here in Detroit? You know, we embrace that type of mentality.
Yeah. We love ripping people's faces off.
Exactly. He can shoot. You know, he's shown at times that he can knock down threes and be kind of a stretch guy. So he has the ability to play the four or the five legitimately, which is great. He can guard fours and fives. He can guard guys on the perimeter. He has the foot speed to be able to do that. But again, he's got to stay healthy and he's got to be more consistent. And, you know, he has times where he looks fantastic and fearless and all this stuff. And then he has other times where he just kind of shies away. And like makes me kind of think of the Homer Simpson, you know, the
into the bush,
tucking into the bush. So
yeah,
you got it. You got to stay out of those bushes. You got to come out, you know, and he's got to be a leader now. He's heading into what, his third, fourth year.
Yeah, I've with him, the reason why I like him. And like you said, all those things you mentioned, I love, but I just feel like it's been 4 years of the same thing.
There's been
no improvement. Nothing has really changed.
Yep.
And I'm about ready to just kick him off the damn bus because I'm done with
it. And you're not alone. A lot of people, I think, feel the same way.
And I can't believe he got paid what he got paid.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. The good news is he got paid because a lot of other teams still value what he brings to the table. And a lot of other teams would be willing to trade for him and say, hey, look, you don't have to be a franchise guy. We just need you to be a solid role guy, solid role player. And as long as you're consistent in your role, that's all we need from you. And that's all we need that's going to put us over the top, you know, and be, you know, be a true competitor. So, you know, again, we're going to kind of have to see how this plays out. I actually do think Stewart's going to wind up beginning the season as a starter. But again, he'll be on thin ice. You know, if he comes out sluggish and, you know, somebody like Weissman or Marvin Bagley, who we're about to get to.
I guess it's kind of weird because there's two ways to look at that, right? You can start the guy and hopefully plays well. And then you, because I do, I want them to move him no matter what. I don't care. So if people really value him for the role he plays, great. But I guess if they already value him, why would you want to put, there's like two things. If you put him in there and he doesn't produce and he still kind of stinks, then you diminish his value.
That's true.
By having him play and get so much exposure. But then if you don't have him play, then you're not showcasing him. So it's a weird thing. I don't know.
It is. And it would make more sense if we didn't have so many other guys in that same position, that same, you know, Marvin Bagley's the next guy on the list. And, you know, same with him, you know, former number two overall pick, obviously, you know, had those years with Sacramento, a lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistency. The fans hate him there because they could have had Luka and they passed on him infamously. And things just didn't work out. But here in Detroit, you know, when he's played, again, he's shown promise, especially as a scorer. You know, he's shown that he can score inside and out. Super athletic. I know when Detroit's guards were all healthy, he was a lob threat, a guy that they were looking to, you know, when they were pushing the ball. I think he and Ivy have a lot of good chemistry and connection. And another guy that we're going to get to in a little bit, Killian Hayes, when he was playing point guard, you know, he was looking for Bagley as well. So, I mean, he's a good fit in terms of like young guy with potential. But again, it all goes back to like, what's his role going to be and how consistent will he be in that role? So a lot of question marks. In terms of fantasy, Bagley's been a guy historically, like, not great defensively, doesn't really do a ton besides scoring. Kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Kyle Kuzma. You know, I think if he was featured more, he could probably be that type of a scorer. But he's got to get better in terms of, you know, defense, rebounding, and just, you know, doing the things that's going to translate to more wins for your team, both in fantasy and real life. So, yeah, just another guy to kind of add to that list. And, you know, if these guys are all healthy, it's kind of a good problem to have if you're Monty Williams, because you get a look at all of these guys. But at the end of the day, like we said, you've got to, you know, pick a rotation, and, you know, the more consistent you are with your rotation, the better it's going to be in the long term, probably for everybody involved.
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree with that. I actually saw you mentioned Killian Hayes, and
he's still around.
I saw football related, somebody, there was an NBA, I can't remember who did it, some NBA Twitter, they had mentioned who was the NBA equivalent, I'm going blank right now, to Zach Wilson, backup for Aaron Rodgers for the Jets. And somebody had put on their Killian Hayes, and I was like, wow, that's a pretty good comp right there.
We're getting kind of short on time here, I think. So I'm going to kind of just loop the rest of the guards together, and we can kind of just touch on all of them. Monte Morris, who we said is moving the community, local guy. He's been back home and doing a lot of stuff. We talked about that kind of off air a little bit too. Ausar Thompson of the Thompson Twins.
Whoa, hold me now.
the aforementioned Killian Hayes, and another guy who's still on the roster who was brought back, Alec Burks. All of these guys are going to be competing with each other for minutes, presumably off the bench in the backcourt. They all have their talents. They all have different skills that they bring to the table. Obviously, the one that everybody's excited about is Thompson. He looks so good in the summer.
Yeah.
He just has such an array of skills. You know, I would touch you right now if I could through the mic. I mean, hey, the way he was looking this summer. Yeah, just, you know, fun to watch. Nicely played. I mean, I can't really say anything else after that. You know, pretty much.
I feel the same way about him, though.
I think a lot of people feel the same way about him, and that's
yeah, and not just here. That's the great part. Not just here in Detroit, people feel that way. It's all around the country, or all NBA, all around the world. Sorry, all the NBA fans and things like that. But yeah, everybody loves him, and you can totally see why. I'm so high on him. That guy's going to be starting before we know it.
That's just it. Yeah, like, you know, we've kind of said who we think will start, but. You know, I think there's a very likely chance that, you know, Thompson winds up in the starting lineup at some point, whether that's because of an injury or because of a trade, or if it's just his play, you know, that coach just can't keep him off the floor. We could definitely see that. And that's where, again, these guys can all play different spots. You know, Thompson can play the 1, 2, or the 3. Cake can play 1, 2, or 3. You know, Ivy can play the 1 or the 2. Hayes, assuming he's still around, he's 1 or 2. Burks, you know, he's been in the NBA for a long time. You know, he kind of does what he does. You know, he's a solid player. He can play the 1, 2, or 3. All of these guys have a chance at getting minutes and stuff, but, you know, we just don't know what their roles are going to be. There's a chance that maybe they bring Thompson along a little slowly, but I just think he looks so good in the summer. And again, you know, just has all that, you know, fanfare coming into the season. People are going to want to see him. And I think the Pistons are going to want to see him. They're going to want to see what he can do and what he can bring to the table. So he's a guy that is getting drafted in fantasy. You know, he got drafted in our mock draft that we did.
Yeah. And that'll be the next rule by the NBA. Any top 5 draft pick must play at least 60 games and must start half of them. I don't know, some stupid rule like that, but
depending on how crappy your team is.
Yeah, exactly. If you've lost, you know, this many teams last year. Yeah.
But don't tank. Games. Yep. Don't lose on purpose.
Exactly.
So yeah, we just kind of have to see, you know, and again, it's going to come down to who's even healthy. You know, if these guys are all healthy, they're going to be competing for minutes. A couple guys left in the front court too. Joe Harris, who was brought in from the Brooklyn Nets. He's a veteran guy. He's another guy that if he's healthy, he could definitely help. You know, the Pistons need shooting desperately. So he's a guy that can help with that. And, you know, if Bogdanovich gets moved, I think Harris has a real good chance to either start or at least get like a real solid amount of minutes consistently off the bench and kind of take over as that, you know, like perimeter shooting, scoring guy. So, and also just a character guy too. I think he fits in well in that regard. In terms of fantasy, I think he's lost a lot of his value. Not that he ever had a ton, but he, you know, during his days with Brooklyn, a lot of times he was starting for them. I don't really see that being the case. And again, unless Bogdanovich gets moved, but you never know. You know, it's definitely going to be something to watch. And the last guy I just wanted to mention real quick, former Michigan Wolverine, Isaiah Livers. And he's another one that's battled injuries his whole career so far. It's only been a couple years, but he has shown a lot of promise when he's been healthy and on the court. Energy guy, but can do a lot of stuff. He can score in a number of ways. He's good defensively. So a guy that's taken advantage of opportunities. You know, obviously the Pistons have been really bad, and he's had a lot of like opportunities to get out there and play extended minutes. I don't see that happening for him on this team again, unless there are injuries and trades, and you know, we just kind of have to see how everybody looks in training camp and stuff. But yeah, just all the more reason to watch this team closely. I mean, we're homering out here right now, but we're also doing this in terms of fantasy. You have to watch these type of teams that just have so many question marks. You have to kind of see how guys look and how they play together and pay attention to like quotes and stuff. You know, what are people saying? What are the players saying? What are the coaches saying? Who's looking good and vibing with who, you know, and then just kind of go from there.
Completely agreed.
That's all I got, my brother. Yeah, I think that's about a wrap.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out my my prediction here right now. I think the Pistons fall 3 games short of the play-in.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now.
I think I'm gonna co-sign on that. That sounds about right. But if they're fully healthy and if a few of these guys, if a few of them really hit, they could contend for that play-in.
Sneak in there. Yeah. I'd say so. But I
saw other teams do it last year.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, it's like you said, we are
Monty
time
wins
to go, Maryland.
Yeah. Sorry, up against it, but yeah, it should be a fun, exciting year. Hopefully, like you said, you guys, nobody didn't mind us homering out here a little bit, but yeah, it'll be a fun year. Yep, it did. It'll be a fun year to watch our Pistons, and I think a lot of people, fantasy wise, will be picking up and dropping people here left and right just for random streaming options, and you never know here with injuries and things too. So yeah, so that's about all that we got. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this week's episode. Of course, you can listen to us every week, put an episode out. You can find us on X. I deleted Threads, so I got rid of it. I thought it was pointless, and yeah. Twitter X is still working pretty well, so I just kept that. But yeah, if you have an opportunity, we add some QR codes as well, so you can easily get to the Spotify or iTunes page to find Menace Podman and share it with your friends. Tell everybody how awesome we are, and leave us a rating if you haven't done so, and follow our show if you haven't done so.
Let's win some awards.
Exactly. We'll let you know about that. So we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And Miss Parliament.